You ever have those moments when something hits you and you now understand why you think the way you do? You knew you thought a certain way. You knew you had a very strong opinion about something. But to actually put it into words, you haven't reached that Rubicon yet. I had one of those experiences this morning, an aha experience. I was talking with someone, and she has three sons, one 15, one 13, and then a little one. We talked about how the boys keep in contact with their friends through computer, through email, through instant messaging, through text messaging, through cell phones. And that's an important part of their existence. It also happened that the oldest boy had some troubles, some things that had to be dealt with rather significantly. Mom was a good mom. She's disappointed and she's frustrated at having to have these things happen to her family. She didn't raise the kid that way. Why would he do that? Why would he think that way? Where's his judgment? Laying aside for the moment the reality that some kids are certainly more prone than others to do stupid things by temperament, by the way they're wired, there certainly seem to be lots and lots of kids doing things that 50, 100 years ago in our culture didn't happen. Now, part of it is technology makes it possible. Leaving that aside, it hit me. It hit me. Anybody listening to this program with any regularity knows that I have a very skewed view of the utility of cell phones, computers, iPods, text messaging, email, chat rooms, instant messaging for children. Obviously, there are many reasons for that. We can go on and on about all the reasons. But it hit me today. One of the things that it just hit me. I knew I had an unsettledness towards these things. I knew that they were involved in some way in the way kids are thinking and behaving and acting and being shaped. I knew this. Now, this may sound real obvious to you, and I suppose that it is. But have you ever had the experience of reading scripture and having the scripture just jump out at you with a meaning that you never saw before? You may have read that passage 10 times, and the meaning hits you right between the eyes. And you say, ah, it's so clear. But you didn't think that before. You may have fuzzily thought it, but you couldn't put it into specifics. I see children shaped by their peers. That's part of the reason why so many good parents are having so much trouble. They are underestimating how much their children are being shaped by the attitudes of the peers, by the attitudes of the pop culture, by the attitudes of what's out there. It's the way the kids think. It's the way they feel. It's the way they act. It's the way they look at church. It's the way they look at you. It's the way they look at authority. It's the way they look at living. It's the way they look at jobs. It's the way they look at stress. It's the way they look at academics. It's the way they look and feel it. So much in life. And you're thinking, how is it that they're thinking, feeling, and having opinions and beliefs that way? What's going on here? Well, I have always maintained that for most of us, we underestimate the power, the shaping power of the culture. It used to be, back when I was in school, 1906, I think it was, that you were influenced by your friends, for the most part, when you were with them. That's how they exerted influence. When you went home, unless you called them on the telephone, which most of us didn't do much of because our parents had limits on telephones, because there was really only one telephone in the house and you didn't want to tie it up for 2 hours, so there were phone limits. Remember those quaint little things called phone limits? Okay. So our peers influenced us too, when we were personally in contact with them, for the most part. Cell phones, instant messaging, email, computer, text messaging, and all the other stuff that kids are coming up with, all simply add to the influence of the peer group over and above personal contact. They're with them 5, 6, 7, 8 hours a day at school. And then they come home, and for the next 1, 2, 3, 4 hours, however much time they sneak or you let, they're in contact with them. Their peers become their world. And there is no longer a break from peers when you go home. The peer influence follows you into the home. They're on the cell phone for 42 minutes. They're on the computer for an hour and a half on a chat room. Instant messaging. It is the peer influence stepping into your home in many of these technological advances that we permit. Cell phones in and of themselves have great uses. I sadly live on the crummy thing. But I'm not talking to my peers, and I'm not trying to calculate behind my mom and dad's back, or I'm not talking about how our parents are dorks and geeks. Isn't it enough to talk about that for 6 hours at school? I got to come home and instant message with my own secret code, POS, parent over shoulder. I guess what that means. It hit me. The peer influence shapes our kids right underneath our nose, and by our permissiveness with all of these technological ways of contacting the peers. And for many parents, by the way, maybe the majority, there are no limits on these things. There are no limits. Recent survey said only 17% of parents monitor computer use. Cell phones, how do you know? They have unlimited minutes, unlimited text messaging. How do you know? Well, it's for safety purposes. Yeah? Well, then just give it for safety purposes and that's it. We now permit the peer group to shape the children even when they're away from the peer group. Huh. Sometimes I need smacked real hard. 877-ROME, R-O-M-E, 777. I wasn't going to give you the last three numbers. I was going to say, look, you want to call, you show me that there's an effort being made here. I'm not going to make it easy on you. I was just going to give you some of the numbers. 877-766. That's it. You really like me, you'll figure out the other numbers. I'm Dr. Ray. I'll be right back.